I was joking when I said that, you know, there were some hairy moments when Trina was driving, okay? That was just a joke, all right? That's right. Miss Jeannie said, hey, you keep talking like that, you're not going to be in your bed. You're going to be on the couch. So hold on a second. Wait a second. Let me fix this, amen? So I want to ask you a quick question before we get into the message tonight. If you receive, or if everyone should have, if you're part of the email group, where Miss Lisa Walker sends out an email for you know, weekly updates and that sort of thing. I asked her to send out an update letter that I put together of all our travels, of all the places we've been, and we got some pictures and all that sort of thing. You know, I know how pictures help us stay focused. Amen. But anyway, if you have not received that, if you've not received that email, we want you to have that so you can know, because basically, if you come ask me, you know, well, how's it going? Where you been? And I got to rehash it. Here, just take one of these update letters. Amen. Just read that. I have hard copies at the front. If you'd like one of those, man, feel free to grab one of those. We've just been all over the place. The Lord has blessed our travels. We've got churches picking us up. We've got churches just being generous and kind and loving. And it's been absolutely wonderful. And I thank the Lord for allowing us to do that. But of course, we enjoy coming back home. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Genesis chapter number 22. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. You should have received with the bulletin tonight. There should be an outline for notes this evening inside that bulletin. If you want to take notes, that's fine. If you don't, then you know you can just toss it if you like. But nonetheless, we want to be a help and a blessing to you. Genesis 22, verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." The title of the message this evening is the Mount Moriah Moment. And let's have one last word of prayer, and then we'll get right into the message. Father, we love you, and Lord, we thank you again for your word. And Lord, we thank you for inspiring it. We thank you for preserving it. And Lord, we thank you that we can have not just a copy. Lord, all of us have multiple copies of your word, and we are blessed. And Father, we thank you for it. We thank you for the life that it gives, the light that it sheds on our path, the conviction that it brings into our hearts, into our lives. And Lord, we pray that it would do exactly what you send it forth to do tonight in each and every heart and each and every life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 11:30 a.m., May 29th, 1953, the British Broadcasting Corporation announced to the world that a man climbed higher than any man ever had previously climbed in history and climbed as high as any man ever would climb in the future. Quote, "No man ever has or ever will climb higher," end quote, was the report from the BBC announcing that Sir Edmund Hillary had reached the top of Mount Everest. The first person to reach the highest peak on the planet, 29,002 feet. And Sir Edmund Hillary, as he reached the top, he planted the British flag and the Union Jack flew over basically the entire world at that time as it waved over the top of Mount Everest that day. Never would a man climb a higher mountain. And that may be true, but the mountain that we see being climbed here in Genesis chapter number 22 in our passage was a much tougher climb. You see, Abraham had to climb Mount Moriah, and if you know anything about Mount Moriah, it's not really truly a mountain. It's more like a plateau, but nonetheless, it's considered a mountain, and he had to climb this, he had to make this ascent with the intention of taking the life of his only son. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'll be transparent with you tonight. I don't believe that I would be capable of doing what Abraham did there in Genesis 22. He literally obeyed God to the point that he was willing to sacrifice his own son. Sir Edmund Hillary in 1953 made quite an accomplishment. He and his team spent 5 years preparing for that ascent. 5 years getting their bodies acclimated to the altitude. 5 years allowing their lungs to get expanded. 5 years to get in shape for that climb. 5 years to gather gear. Lots of time to prepare. It wasn't climbed in a single day. There was arduous training and meticulous preparation for that climb. And yet the climb in our story in Genesis chapter number 22 that Abraham made here on Mount Moriah was an infinitely more difficult climb than that climb of Mount Everest many years ago. You see, in reality, Mount Moriah is a small little mountain compared to what we would consider mountains to be. It's not even really a mountain at all, more of a ridge that runs through the city of Jerusalem. And as a matter of fact, unless you're knowledgeable geographically or perceptive to your surroundings, you don't even realize that you're on a mountain when you're on Mount Moriah. You could be right on it and totally unaware of it. It runs through the city through the gate and it peaks some 100 yards outside the city. We say about that gradually sloping ridge that's not a mountain at all, but more of a hill. But man, what a climb it was. Man, what a tremendous, tremendous activity that Abraham put not only himself, but his son, his servants through on this trip, on this expedition. When God said to Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, the son whom you love, and offer him up as a sacrifice. Wait a minute. What are you asking me to do, God? You're asking me to take the son, my only son, the son that I love, the son that we've waited for years and years for, this son that we prayed for years and years, that we've longed for all this time, and you want me to do what? This can't be right. This was the greatest mountain climbing expedition ever. Wait a second. There was a greater climbing expedition, but it happened on this exact same hill, on this exact same mountain, because it's Mount Moriah that we call today, we call it Calvary. And there we saw the Lord Jesus Christ climb this hill, this mountain. We saw God, the Heavenly Father, allow His Son to be sacrificed on Mount Moriah. Oh yes, Abraham had an arduous climb. He had a tremendous expedition, but it paled in comparison to the climb that God the Father and God the Son made on Calvary. You see, until the Father and another son, they would climb that exact same hill in the exact same spot years later. Isaac the Son, Abraham the Father, but on that day, on Calvary, the Son isn't spared like Isaac was spared. You see, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, there was no ram caught in the thicket for the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no, hey, stop, don't do what you're going to do. No, they drilled the holes. They hammered them into his hands. They hammered them into his feet. They plastered that crown of thorns on his head. They shoved that spear into his side. There was no stopping it. There was no stopping it. The Son is brutally sacrificed for your sin and for mine. You see, this story here in Genesis chapter number 22 is a picture of that climb that would happen centuries later. Abraham pictures the Father's ultimate sacrifice, willing to give his son. Isaac illustrates the son's ultimate submission, willing to allow his father to kill him. Look at Genesis chapter 22. Look at verse number 1 one more time. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham. Now, before we continue reading, remember, Abraham doesn't have a copy of Genesis chapter number 22 that he can refer back to and say, well, I see how this ends. This is going to be okay. He didn't have that. Are y'all with me? He had no crystal ball that he can look into it and find out the future. He didn't know. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that he by faith, he went to do that because he knew that even if I kill my son, God will raise him up from the dead. Man, that's some tremendous faith. I'll be honest with you. I don't know that I would have that much faith to do that. Anybody else with me? Man, this is hard stuff. This is graduate, you know, this is PhD level Christianity right here. This is not elementary Christianity. This is tremendous, abundant, fantastic faith that Abraham had. In Hebrews 11:19, the Bible says, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead is a reference to this story here in Genesis 22. Imagine it. Put yourself in his place. What if it were you that heard the voice of God audibly say on a given day to take your son or your daughter and to take their life? Could you have the heart to obey a command like that? I honestly say I don't think that I would. But Abraham did. But just like Sir Edmund Hillary, and just like Sir Edmund Hillary and his team, Abraham, there was a lot of preparation in the life of Abraham before that moment of truth. Before that Mount Moriah moment, God had prepared Abraham. God had tested Abraham. God had stretched Abraham. God had grown Abraham to the point where he was ready, he was prepared, his faith was strong for that Mount Moriah moment. You see, the reason that I can't go through with something like that, because God has not prepared me like he prepared Abraham. The reason that you cannot go through something like that is because God has not prepared you like he prepared Abraham. So let's look at it. Point number one. This is point number one. The coaching. Okay, this is the preparation. The coaching. It says in Genesis 22 and verse 1, and it came to pass, the next three words, it says, after these things that God did tempt. Now, after what things? When did God say, okay, he's ready? When did God finally decide, okay, Abraham is prepared now after many years of training, after many years of coaching, just like Sir Edmund Hillary and his expedition team, they had to train, they had to prepare, they had to stretch themselves. I mean, they had to take their bodies to a new level. Well, God had to take Abraham to a new level spiritually before he was ready for this Mount Moriah moment. You remember when God first called Abram, before he changed his name to Abraham, he called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he said, leave. You remember that? He said, leave your countrymen, leave your culture, leave what you're used to, leave. And then not only did he tell him to leave, he says, you go, and I'll let you know when you get there. You know, we use GPSs, amen, because we want to know, hey, how long is it going to take me to get there? What route am I going to take? What turns am I going to make? God didn't give Abraham that. He said, you leave all that you're used to. You leave all that you're accustomed to. You leave all that you've known all your life, and you just start walking. You just start traveling. I'll let you know when you've arrived. That's the beginning of the coaching. That's the beginning of his training. That's step number one in Abraham's training. He was 75 years old. He had to leave his country. He had to go somewhere that he didn't know where it was. This was part of the training. Step number one. Step number two in the coaching was when he and Lot and their herdmen couldn't dwell together. And he says to Lot, Lot, you go ahead and look across this valley and you go whichever direction you go. You go right, I'll go left. If you go left, I'll go right. You see, he's learning to let go. Y'all with me tonight? He's learning to say, well, I want it my way, and I want to do what I want, and I want to do the things that I prefer. And God says, pry your white knuckle fingers off and let go. Let Lot take whatever section of the valley he wants. Let Lot decide, and you take whatever's left. Not only is he letting Lot have the first choice, he's losing his nephew. He's losing the fellowship that he had with his family member. God is teaching Abraham. God is coaching Abraham. God is preparing Abraham for that moment when he's going to have to let go of his son. Later on, so step number one, he tells him, leave his country. Step number two, hey, separate from family. Later, Abraham rescues Lot from that coalition of kings. If you remember that story, little by little, what happened was the kings that were surrounding Sodom and Gomorrah, they made a league, and they went in, and they took everyone captive, and they plundered the cities, and Abraham heard about this. He says, oh, wait a second. I got to go rescue my nephew, and I got to go rescue his family. And he got together an army, and he went, and he delivered him, and he brought him back. Now, when he brought him back, here's another part of the training. The king of Sodom offered Abraham payment for rescuing them, payment for, man, doing them a good service. And Abraham, it would have been understandable if Abraham said, no, I don't want your payment. I don't need your payment. I don't want your payment. You see, the king of Sodom who offered that, Abraham said, no, I'm doing this out of love for my nephew, out of love for his family. God is training him. God is training him. By the way, he met Melchizedek, all right? He met Melchizedek, and he gave Melchizedek tithes of all. Again, God teaching him, God training him, God coaching him, hey, to let go of the money, buddy. Well, that's a lesson we need to learn, amen? Let go of the money. Hey, don't white knuckle it. But it's mine. Is that right? Okay, who gave you the job? Who gave you the health? Who gave you the ability to get up? You know, just on one of these trips we were at, I was on the phone with somebody, and they have a food pantry. And so for this food pantry, they get a big delivery on like Saturday. And so they got all this food coming in, and they have these doors going into one certain section, the kitchen section of the church. And they had this like metal square with wheels on it, and they put all these pallets on all this food. And the guy's trying to get it through the door, and the threshold of the door is like that high, and he couldn't get it. And so I'm on the phone. I said, hey, hold on, let me help you. And so I squatted down. I said, let me lift it. And I felt something in my arm snap. And I thought, oh, that was not good. It's still hurting today. I mean, this happened weeks ago. And you know what that taught me? Number one, you're getting old, okay? I remember, I said, you know, 10 years ago, that wouldn't have happened. Anyway, you're getting old. Number two, hey, your body's fragile. Number three, God's the one that gives you the strength, the ability, the health. Everything we have is the Lord's. That job, that money, that paycheck, that salary, it's God's anyway. And he's teaching Abraham, and he wants to teach us to learn to let go. Learn to let go. He's training him. He's coaching him. He's helping him to get there. In Genesis chapter 21, Sarah wanted Ishmael and Hagar thrown out of their family. You remember, they took matters into their own hands. Hey, we'll have a son through my concubine or my maid. And he went into Hagar, and they had Ishmael, and that caused all kinds of problems, of course. And eventually, Sarah got sick and tired of them and said, get rid of them. Get them out of here. And Abraham, again, had to let go. He had to tell Hagar and Ishmael, you have to leave. Now, it wasn't his son with Sarah, but still it was a son. It was still family. It was still someone he loved. And of course, you know, he had to let go. He's learning. He's growing. You see, this is more training, more preparation for the acceptance of losing someone you love dearly. Abraham said to God in Genesis 17:18, Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. But the training continued when God said, no, send them away. Send them away. So in Genesis 22 and verse number 1, when God says, and it came to pass after these things. I venture to say to you tonight that it's after all this training that he's gone through. All these situations in his life where he's had to learn to let go. All these situations in his life where he's had to learn to do things God's way and not his way. All these, what we would call bad circumstances that happened to him, God was training him. God was preparing him. God was stretching him. God was growing him. Listen, God's not done that for me to be willing to let go of my child, but he trained Abraham to be willing to let go of his child. You see, just like Sir Edmund Hillary's 5 years of preparation, Abraham was in training for decades. For decades, God was coaching him. And God will never put any of us, not you, not me, not Abraham, through a test that he has not thoroughly and completely prepared us for. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. We can stop right there and preach for a while. Amen. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Why? Because he's going to prepare you for it. He's going to coach you. He's going to train you, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape so you can bear it, that ye may be able to bear it. God never allows us to be tested above what we've been prepared for, what we've been trained for. So many Christians hesitate to give God total control of their life. So many Christians hesitate to give God total authority of their life because they're afraid what God might have for them in their moment of testing. Well, what are you going to ask me to do, Lord? Well, are you going to send me to Africa? Are you going to make me preach? Are you going to make me get up in front of people and talk or sing or play an instrument? Lord, are you going to make me witness to people? Are you going to make me give money? What are you going to make me do? And God says, man, after all I've done, that's the least we can do. The least we can do is give him every ounce of energy, time, devotion that we possibly can. We need to remember that this moment of great testing and great faith did not come until after these things, after these things. We see the coaching, number one. Let's look at number two. We see the climb. The climb. The climb. We see letter A under point number two, a direct obedience. A direct obedience. We see the coaching, we see the climb, we see a direct obedience. Look at chapter 22, verse number one more time. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take, what's the next word? All right, well, let's do the next, okay? Verse 2. And he said, take, what's the next word? Now. Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. God said, Abraham, this is not wait till next year, wait till next week, wait till next month, until you think you're ready or until you've learned some more or until you've grown some. No. He says, you're ready. God says, you're ready. You're prepared. You've been trained. You've been coached. You've been stretched. You've been grown. Now is the time. Look at verse number 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. Notice the direct obedience immediately right away. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Question. Does Abraham know how this is going to play out yet? No. But he's obedient. He says, I'm sure if he's anything like I am, okay, I don't know how this is going to play out. But it's what you want, Lord. Okay, I'm going to grab the wood. Okay. All right. Hey, guys, come on. We got to go. Where are we going? I'll tell you when we get there. Come on. Hey, son, come on. You got to go. Hey, what are we doing, Dad? Hey, come, just come with me, boy. I'll tell you. Come on. And the whole way, I would have been questioning and doubting and questioning and wondering and saying, how are you going to work this out, Lord? That would have been me. But nonetheless, he obeyed. He gathered the wood. He gathered the servants. He gathered his son, and he took off. He obeyed. Abraham obeyed right away. Letter B under point number two, it's a difficult obedience. Not just a direct obedience, it's a difficult obedience. Look at verse number 4 of Genesis 22. So he leaves in verse 3, and then in verse 4 it says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Now notice one thing here in verse 4. It took him 3 days to get to this destination. Listen, after day number one, I would probably turn around and head back home. After day, I'm like, are we there yet? Like, come on, enough already. I've obeyed so far, Lord. You see, but that's just partial obedience. What we want to do is say, well, you know, I did what you asked me to do, Lord, but did you do it all the way? I did what you wanted, Lord, but did you sincerely and genuinely actually fulfill everything that he's called you to do? He went 3 days. 3 days. Look at verse number 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Now notice what he says. And come again to you. He's saying, me and my son, we're going to go up to the mountain, we're going to worship, and we're both going to come back. That's some faith right there. He's saying, I'm going to go. And he knows full well that God has told him to kill his son, sacrifice his son. But he still knows that, man, if I kill him, God will raise him up. And we'll both go back and meet our two servants and both go back home. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And I and the lad, it's not written there, but he's saying, I and the lad will come again to you. Look at verse 6. This is some tough stuff right here. It's a difficult obedience. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. Can you imagine picking up that knife, knowing that it's not for an animal, it's not for a goat, it's not for a sheep. You're going to plunge that knife into the chest of your son or your daughter. Just imagine that, if you will. And they went, both of them together. Verse 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And I'll be honest with you. When I get to Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 8, I get excited. I get a little Bapticostal. Y'all know what I'm talking about when I say that? I get a little charismatic. Because if you know the true meaning of verse 8, you'll get excited too. Look at verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And you think, well, Pastor Morales, what's so exciting about that? No, it didn't say that God will provide himself a lamb, that God will provide a lamb for himself. That's not what it says. It says that God himself, he will provide himself as the lamb. And John the Baptist said, he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, when the God-man showed up on the scene. Man, that's an exciting truth. Because God's prophesying in Genesis chapter number 22 that he himself is going to be the sacrificial, perfect, sinless, spotless lamb that takes away the sins of the whole world. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I get a little charismatic in that verse. I like that verse. That's a great verse. That's a tremendous truth. All right, let's continue reading. Look at Genesis 22. Look at verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. One time years ago, Trina and I had a cleaning business for a short time when we were in Orlando, Florida. And once in a while, we would take our girls. They were teenage years at that time. And we would take them, kind of help us, and we'd get a bite to eat somewhere. We had a minivan. Hey, man, I love minivans, okay? I don't knock them, because they were really helpful when you got a big family. So we had a minivan, but the back door on that minivan, you know, had those what do you call those things? What are they? Help me out here. Yeah, those strut things, right? Right, to hold it up and all that kind of thing. Well, they weren't working. And those doors are heavy. So one day, we had a broomstick, right? We're holding up the door. You know what's coming. Someone inadvertently hit the broomstick or something, and that thing slammed on Jocelyn's fingers. I was so angry. I could have taken that van and burned it. Because it hurt my daughter. I was upset. And I'll be honest with you, I lost my temper a little bit. And if it wasn't for the Lord, I would have busted the windows on that. You know, and listen, it's not the van's fault, right? Right. But I was upset because it hurt. It injured my daughter. Listen, it wasn't a major injury. You know, she was fine and she healed up. But this man, he's taking personally, himself, with his hand, a knife to kill his son. I cannot imagine. I cannot imagine the emotions that are going through his person, through his mind at this point. It's very difficult obedience. It was a direct obedience. Letter C. It was a delivered obedience. Look at verse number 11 of Genesis 22. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Hey, can I tell you that God blesses your faith? God blesses our faith. Hebrews chapter 11 says that without faith, it is hard to please God. Is that what the Bible says? Without faith, you may be able to... No. It's impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible. By the way, that same verse says that he's a rewarder of them that casually seek him. Is that what it says? You know your Bible. It says he's a rewarder of them that... diligently. I mean, you know, we're doing it and we're trying. We're giving it our best effort. Diligently seeking God. We're diligently studying the Word of God. We're diligently praying. We're diligently reading the Bible. We're diligently attending church. We're diligent to make sure we hand out tracts. We're diligent about this thing. Man, we got a responsibility at church. We're diligent about it. God says, man, that pleases me. That makes me happy. And Abraham's faith made God happy. It pleased him. We see the coaching. We see the climb. Number three, we see the comprehension. The comprehension. So if life is simply a series of difficult events training you and training me for harder and more difficult testings, then why would I choose to go up Mount Moriah? Why would I choose to follow God? Why would I choose to submit to this? Why? The comprehension, the understanding is this. Letter A, it's for our growth. It's for our growth. Look at Genesis 22. Look at verse number 15. It's for our growth. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that, look at here. Look, you understand that God's going to be pleased. He's going to bless you. Look at it. In blessing, I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. I'll be honest with you. I want this result. I want this blessing. I want this multiplication. But if I want this blessing and I want this multiplication, then I'm going to have to show and display and demonstrate the faith that Abraham had. Y'all with me tonight? Everybody still awake? Listen, if we're going to get that multiplying and that blessing and God shining, smiling down upon us and God blessing everything that our hands touch, then listen, we're going to have to live by faith. And when he says go, we don't understand where, we don't know how, you go. And when he says stop, you don't understand why, you stop. And when he says give, and you say, well, Lord, I don't have it, you give it anyway. And when he says sacrifice, you say, Lord, I've been sacrificing, you sacrifice anyway. And listen, we don't do it to get the blessing, but let me tell you something, if we want the blessing, we better do it. We better do it. You see, the comprehension, it's for our growth. God uses this training and this process and this coaching, this training to complete us, to perfect us. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, the Bible says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, testings, trials. You, what do you mean I'm supposed to be happy? That's what God said. I didn't say it. God said it. He said, count it all joy. Verse 3 of James chapter 1, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect worth, that ye may, look at what it says now, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. You see, we want to be perfect, mature. We want to be blessed. We want to be entire, lacking nothing. But we don't want to do the part of going through the trials and the temptations and the stretching and the coaching and the hardships and the tribulations. Listen, what's the old saying? No pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. God uses this coaching process to bring us closer to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So many people want to be good Christians, but they don't want to have to go through what it takes to become a good Christian. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 8. Referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. By the things which he suffered. There's an old warrior mantra that states, the more you sweat in training, the less you bleed in battle. I've read that a former Olympic athlete said something very similar. He said, quote, you train so hard that the event becomes easy. You see, there has to be something to that, right? I would think. The idea that we need to be putting more effort into the preparation for the competition or the performance or the trial and not just hope that we'll arrive and have what it takes when the opportunity comes. I've read that this next quote is used by many in the military. We have military folks in here tonight. This quote that says, you do not rise to the occasion. You simply fall back to your level of training. You do not rise. You don't all of a sudden just say, well, here's a trial, here's a test. And all of a sudden, man, I'm going to rise to the occasion. I'm going to soar. I'm going to have success. No. You're not going to have success if you haven't been properly training. If you haven't, when the trial comes, if you haven't been training, you're going to fail. I'm going to fail. We need to make sure that we're allowing the Lord to train us. I think a lot of people fall into the trap of thinking they will somehow just make it happen. They'll just show up and through sheer willpower, they'll be able to stand out and accomplish greatness. God says, no. You need to let me train you. You need to let me coach you. You need to let me stretch you during those hard times. It's for our growth. Letter B, not only for our growth, letter B, it's for his glory. It's for our growth, and it's for his glory. Look at Genesis chapter number 22, verse 18 again. Genesis 22 and verse number 18. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Notice what he says in verse 18, and in thy seed, because as you obey, and as I bless, and as I multiply, as the sand of the seashore, as the stars in heaven, thy seed, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed because you obeyed me, Abraham. Because you did what I asked you to do, what I called you to do, everyone else will receive a benefit and a blessing. How many people are blessed in your sphere of influence because of your obedience? How many people, your Christianity, man, it's touched them, and it's blessed them, and it's helped them, and it's encouraged them. How many people? Listen, if you can't think of anyone that you've helped because of your Christianity, you need some more training. You need some more maturing. You need some more stretching. Let's make sure that our walk with God is so true, it's so sincere, it's so genuine that even in the hard times, even in the valleys, even in the rough parts of this life, the trials, the tribulations, we give him glory, we glorify him, we stay faithful, we obey him, and people are blessed as a result when God provides and God blesses abundantly. Man, it just flows over into their life. That's what happened with Abraham. How about you? In Abraham's life, God was painting a portrait of prophecy. He was showing the world what he would do personally thousands of years later. You and I may be going through a trial of testing that might just help someone else in the future. Maybe it's a grandchild. Maybe it's a niece or nephew. Maybe it's a convert that gets saved 5, 10 years from now. Maybe it's a little child that you teach in Sunday school that grows up to do something great for God. I don't know. But stay faithful. Stay faithful. You're going to go through some hard times. You're going to go through some trials. You're going to go through some tribulations. Man, you're going to have hard times rock your world. We all have had it. And we're not done. As long as we're still alive, we're going to have more. And God says, if you stay faithful, man, I'll use you, your testimony. I often say at these other churches that we travel to, I give them our testimony. And I say, you know what God did? God took our mess and he made a message. He took our test and he made a testimony. The problem is too many Christians want a testimony with no test. They want a message, but they want everything to be just peachy and everything just smooth sailing and a sea of glass. And that's just not how it works. Our Christianity will be revolutionized when we finally realize that God does not exist for us. We exist for him. Y'all have heard me quote this verse time and time again here at First Baptist Church of Kingstown. Revelation 4 and verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Hey, Christian, I hope and pray that everyone here is a saved person, is a Christian. And if you're not, that's the first step in glorifying him. The first thing that we need to do is get saved. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Accept the free gift of salvation that God has purchased, paid for, and offered to us. November 28th, 1993, I received that gift. I thank the Lord for that day. Man, it never grows old. I never tire of relishing that moment. And if you don't have a time, you may not know the date, you may not know the year, but you got to remember a time in your life when you went from darkness to light, when you went from a child of the devil to a child of God, when you went from bound for hell to bound for heaven. There has to be a moment in time, a one-time decision, just like Trina and I stood at an altar and we made vows to each other, vows to God before other people. Listen, it was a one-time decision. I don't have to ask her again to marry me. Now, I'll have to ask her to forgive me many times, right? But I don't have to ask her, hey, will you marry me? Will you marry me? No, 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 we're married. It's a one-time decision. It's done. But many times in our marriage, I've had to say, hon, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And many times in your walk with God, you're going to have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? But you better make sure that there's a point in time in your life where you made that one decision to accept Christ as your Savior. And if you haven't done that, that's the first step. But listen, for all the rest of us, okay, if we're already saved, I don't know what you're going through. Some of you may have heard some of the things that we're going through recently. Our second oldest daughter just had a miscarriage. That's a tough thing. And you know what? I'm so proud of her. I mean, I get worked up thinking about how she's handling this thing. I mean, just super proud of her. But we're hurt. I mean, we shed tears. I saw her on the phone. We were away, and we were in West Virginia at the time, and Trina left. She went to be with her. And man, I was thinking, should I leave? Should I stay? Should I leave? Should I stay? It was a tough decision. And then I talked to her on FaceTime, and I saw the pain in her face. And I lost it. I mean, I was crying all over the place. But you know what? One thing I was not going to do, I was not going to turn my back on God. I was not going to say, well, you know what? I've served you all these years. How could you allow this to happen to my daughter? No, I wasn't going to do that. Because he's faithful. He's blessed us beyond measure. And you know what? There's going to be a grand reunion with that grandbaby in heaven. And I look forward to that day. That's just one of many trials that we've experienced. You all, if you were up here, you could tell of many trials that you've experienced. Let's make sure we stay faithful. God is pleased by our faith. Your Mount Moriah moment is coming. God's going to say to you, give me your dreams. Give me your family. Give me your job. The dreams that you love, the dreams that you've dreamed for years, and he's going to say, give them to me. That's your Mount Moriah moment. What are you going to do? How are you going to respond? Are you going to white knuckle that thing and say, nope, it's mine. I'm not giving it up. I've worked so hard for this. Or are you going to say, okay, Lord, it's yours. You do with it what you will. You allow me to be alive. You give me every breath that I breathe. You give me the strength that I have today. You woke me up this morning. Lord, I'll do whatever you want. How about it, Christian? Let's live like Abraham. Let's live a life filled with faith. Mount Moriah moments, faith. Another Mount Moriah moment, faith. Let's live and walk by faith. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Lord, we do love you tonight. And Father, we thank you for this very clear and practical teaching from Genesis chapter number 22. And Lord, we pray for each and every one of us here. Lord, we have heard your word. Lord, you have been clear tonight. Help us, Lord, to be willing to walk through the trials, the temptations, the tests that you allow into our life. And Lord, please, may you stretch us, may you train us, may you coach us, may you build us. May you grow us. May you mature us. And Lord, help us to live by faith, even in those hard times. Help us to follow the example of faithful Abraham. Lord, please, help us in those especially rough times and low times to continue to live by faith. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here tonight and you don't know for sure that you're saved, man, let us help you with that. Let us show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure that you'll go to heaven. But if you're here tonight and you know for sure you're saved, you know you're going to heaven. Hey, God is calling you. God is speaking to you. He's saying, in that trial, in that situation, in that circumstance, in that difficulty, please follow me. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. No one's looking around. Listen, as the music plays, if the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight, man, the altar's open. Let's make decisions for the Lord. Maybe tonight you're here and you don't know for sure you're saved. Man, let us help you with that. We love to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you'll go to heaven when you die. But if you're here tonight and you're saved, man, we should aspire to behave like Abraham. Aspire to live a life filled with faith. Let's make decisions for the Lord as the music plays. Oh, I don't need to know. You know and God knows. How are you handling it? How are you handling it? Are you getting bitter? Are you getting frustrated? Are you getting angry? Hey, let's have faith. Let's live by faith. What in your past are you having a hard time letting go of? Hey, let's, by faith, let it go. Give it to God. And let Him mend. Let Him heal. Let Him mature you. Lord, again, we pray, dear God, that You would help us. Lord, maybe tonight there's people here that aren't going through any trials. I guess that's possible. And Lord, we just pray that You would help us when those trials do come, when those negative circumstances arise. Lord, please help us to keep our eyes and our hearts focused on You and on Your Word. Lord, help us not to come to church less when we go through a difficulty. Lord, help us to go to church more. Lord, help us not to run from our Bible reading. Lord, help us to run to our Bible reading. Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, that You would convict us to not stop praying, Lord, but to pray more. And Lord, we know that's what we need. We need to walk closer to You. Thank You for the wonderful example of this man, Abraham, whom is called the friend of God. Lord, we want to have that kind of testimony. And Lord, we pray that You would develop that in us. Work through us, Lord, so that we can impact future family members, future friends, and co-workers. Lord, use us for Your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.